Welcome to the Social Work Kuluma Podcast. Siyabamukela. This is a homegrown South African podcast for students and educators in social work.
Welcome to our very first episode. This podcast is mainly about the use of podcasts in helping professions in South Africa. And today we are with the beautiful Dr. Roshni Pillay, who owns the idea of this podcast. Hi, Dr. Roshni. How are you today?
Hi, Felisa. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Welcome to our first episode for this podcast. I'm so excited. Please let us know about this podcast, the name of this podcast, where the idea is coming from, before we get into your questions.
Felisa, this podcast, I'm thinking of calling it Social Work Kuluma. It's about us talking about concepts around social work and using it to assist students as they continue on their journey in social work. I'd like it to be a podcast that is grounded and rooted in South Africa, and that is why I'd like to use the name Social Work Kuluma.
Roshni, tell us a bit about yourself.
Roshni is a teacher, a learner, and a person who is a mother. I have two beautiful girls, Kuvanya and Kashmira. And my partner's name is Sivan. And some of my hobbies include playing with paper, creating little journals, making little cards. Keeps me busy.
What is playing with paper? What do you do with paper?
I basically use paper and I stick different things onto paper. Some of them is like if you travel, then I would keep every little bit of junk from a tea bag and a travel slip or something that I've seen that spoke to me, or just to journal about my encounters. And I put that together with maybe other stickers, or paint a little bit around it and just create a kind of beautiful artifact for me.
That's amazing. So you're an art person.
Well, I wouldn't call myself an artist, but I keep myself busy that way.
How did you end up in social work?
I think I always... My parents were educators, and I didn't want to be a teacher. I really wanted to do something different. I was assisted by a social worker growing up. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a group of three other siblings, and we lost our parents when we were quite young. So we were actually orphans, and we were cared for by our maternal uncle, and we had encounters with a social worker, and it made our lives a bit easier.
Where is this idea of podcasting coming from?
So, Benisa, for me, podcasts are important because it contributes to what I call, or what is called in the literature, socio-emotional or affective learning. Yeah. The other reason why I like podcasts is that when I was young, the radio used to always be playing in the home. And I enjoyed listening to shows such as Children's Corner, and the producers there would recite excerpts from an Enid Blyton book called The Magic Faraway Tree. And then later on, as I grew older, I would listen to The Mind of Tracy Dart and Squad Cars. So I found that when I listened, my imagination was able to develop at a much greater rate than compared to when I was watching a movie or something like that.
Can you please tell our listeners, why you want to use podcast for teaching?
So the word podcast is a combination of two words. It's iPod and broadcast. Mm-hmm. So podcasts are actually digital audio files that can be used in order to supplement course design. So it's different from a vodcast. It's where only the auditory message gets communicated. And I feel that in South Africa, this method of communicating information and knowledge is a method that is an intrinsic one that we grew up with, an oral tradition of listening to stories, mm-hmm. listening to the radio. Mm-hmm. And I think partnering with Wits Radio Station is a nice synergy of bringing these two things together.
Please give me the description of the institution that you want to, you know, that one that you're explaining.
So the institution that I'm employed in right now is called the University of the Witwatersrand. It is a large institution which has multiple campuses in Johannesburg, Bromfontein. And this year it's 100 years old. It's an institution that has opened its doors to a diversity of students. And I think it has an ecosystem that supports student diversity. I feel that moving beyond a lecture in the face-to-face space or even in the online space, I think podcasts offer this aspect of diversity and social justice for our students.
How is podcasting different from MS Teams?
MS Teams is where a lecturer would record their lecture, and in that process you would have a video of it. You would use the PowerPoint slides that the lecturer provides, but a podcast is just the audio. And so the student or whoever is listening to this could be doing a multitude of tasks. So they could be doing household chores, cleaning up or exercising, or even moving from one location to another in terms of transportation. So the podcast basically will sit on their smartphone and they could use it whilst doing something else.
So you do not need electricity?
If you've downloaded the episode, you would not really need Wi-Fi and electricity at that point. But there will be points where you would have to download it and then listen to it at a later stage.
As many times as you want, right?
Yes, and I think for students where English is not their first language, the ability to listen and re-listen has value. I remember when I was in matric, I would actually record myself at some points and listen to myself. And I know that there isn't specific silos that people fit in, like an auditory learner or a visual learner. I know people have multiple skills in terms of education and learning, but I think that when you have more than one medium, then that is helpful.
So you love your voice, ne?
I like voice, not just my voice, but I like voice.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you came up with this idea after all. So please give me the challenges, or just list them, the challenges that prompted you to see this project as important.
One of the reasons is that data is expensive in South Africa, and that's a challenge. So the files are not a large file, and it doesn't use as much data. And not all students are able to attend the synchronous lectures. In addition to that, I know some students have taken on part-time positions, and sometimes even whilst they're doing something else, they could listen to this podcast. It is a supplement to the existing lecture.
Okay, so podcasting will be used for teaching. And how will students ask questions to their lecturers?
So the podcast will be used as an additional aspect to teaching. It will not be in place of teaching. You will still get the online lecture if it's done on Teams or Zoom. You would have some of your face-to-face lectures. But I think the podcast would be an additional element to supplement the course. And sometimes experts can be brought in to talk about a particular topic.
And who is the target market, the target group for this podcast?
I think initially the target market would be your Wits social work students. Okay. But I see it extending wider than that. And I see it as all social work students, and sometimes even social workers in practice who are interested in the various topics. So if, for example, there are enough hashtags that clearly demarcate what is the content of the podcast, then that would allow people to pick and choose one in terms of when they want this particular type of information.
So does everyone have access to the podcast?
So, Belisa, you have assisted in setting up a website for this, and so whoever can get into that website will have access. So there's going to be no limit in that regard.
What further value does this podcast has on management of teaching and learning in higher education?
I think podcasts have value because it offers flexible lifelong learning.
Yeah.
And it offers a diversity of offering content. I think later on, educators may even use podcasts where their students are given assignments where they have to create podcasts themselves. And I think what is happening, the world is changing. How you practice social work, how you want to deliver your message would be different. And a social work student might actually create a podcast in order to share information on a topic. Therefore, I think knowledge in these various skills support the use of real-world knowledge as well as support the generation of indigenous knowledge systems.
What are indigenous knowledge systems? For someone who doesn't know what is indigenous knowledge out there, if someone's listening to us, please assist.
So, Vanessa, if you can go back to your childhood and you think about the stories that you were told by your grandmother and grandfather and uncles and aunts, the oral tradition often gets lost. So I think that if we can go back and we try to retrieve these archives, find out about how group work was conducted before textbooks were written, how communities operated, I think that is the development of knowledge systems that are rooted in this country, South Africa, and Africa beyond.
So in my understanding, this is an audio podcasting. It's not, there's no video. Why not having a YouTube channel, because there's those podcasts that have a YouTube channel, and why this? Why did you choose this?
I see value in the use of just auditory. And sound is something that speaks to people at a different level.
Yeah.
And there's emotion attached to sound. So this is a mode of learning that complements the other forms of multimodal learning in terms of podcasts, YouTube videos, multimedia. So it's a different form, and I think it has specific value, as was said earlier.
What kind of podcasting is this? Is it educational, academic, conversational podcast, or narrate? There's different kinds of podcasting. So this one, does it fall under academic?
I think it would fall under a few things. It would possibly fall under academic.
Mm-hmm.
It would fall under social conversations. It could even fall under a bit of storytelling and skills development. So it could be used by various audiences in various spaces. And as this is the first one, as we proceed, I think our listeners will tell us what they would like to hear about further and whether the conversation is the better way or should there be narration, what would work and what is suitable.
I heard you mentioned helping professions earlier on. Please kindly tell us, what is helping professions? What do we do? What are they? Is that a pilot helping us to, what are helping professions?
So in my view, helping professions are professions that interact with people when they require a particular service. And some examples of helping professions would include teaching. It would be a lawyer. It could be a doctor. It could be, of course, a social worker, but also an occupational therapist, a physiotherapist, a speech therapist. So those are just some of the helping professions I could give you offhand.
Can they approach you, you know, regarding having a podcast, having, you know, other helping professions besides social workers, since this podcast is mainly about social workers, or the name is Social Work Kuluma? Can lawyers approach you?
I think what I would like to do is create guidelines that could assist others if they want to go this route of podcasts. The guidelines would provide step-by-step instructions in terms of the kind of equipment we're using, mm-hmm. how we do it, and what are some of the opportunities and challenges. So that possibly would be able to be used by various people in order to develop their own podcast.
So what are the future plans for this podcast?
So some of the future plans are the workshops that I hope I would be able to get an understanding from the students on how they have experienced these podcasts. And then I'd like to look at how other educators can develop skills in using and creating podcasts, and also finally being able to use podcasts as assessment methods with their students.
Yeah. Last but not least, what are the three books that you have read?
So the three books I would like to recommend to our listeners and that I've read and have been played a role in my life has been, the first one was called Tuesdays with Murray by Mitch Albom, and it's about a university professor having conversations with his students, a student, about life and life lessons and how to be able to dance in the rain when things don't go well. Mm-hmm. The other one is has just been converted to a movie, and it's called Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owen. And I like the analogy of nature and the lessons learned from nature that influence life, and there's a real twist in the tale. And then the last one would be Children of Sugarcane by Joanne Joseph, which kind of speaks to my own history as forefathers that came to South Africa as indentured laborers, but also speaks to the resilience of the feminine spirit.
So what are the three things that you can take to a desert?
So if I'm stranded at a desert island, I hope there will be fresh water, but I'd like to take pen and paper so I can write my memoirs, and then I'd like to be able to have some sort of flint or something to create fire if I get cold at night and keep away the elements, and some seeds to be able to plant some food.
I thought you were going to say you were going to take your two daughters and your husband.
I don't think I'd be allowed to.
Okay, we are done. Thank you so much for coming. And this was an interesting episode, very educational. Thank you.
Thanks, Belisa.
You've been listening to the Social Work Kuluma podcast. Thank you for listening in. Siyabonga.